Hello, homies. Today we hang out with homeopath Jenny Hoagland. Jenny combines her unique skill set of mindset coaching along with her homeopathic practice to get the best results for her clients. And I have to say, I really enjoyed our conversation today. And I think the people who are going to benefit from this episode the most are the hobby homeopaths who maybe are doing, you know, a consult here or there, but might have some limiting self-beliefs that are stopping them from doing homeopathy full-time and perhaps living in their passion, living in their flow, and really creating the life that they want. Today's episode is really going to inspire you to take that leap and take your homeopathic practice to the next level. Be sure to follow Jenny on Instagram, where she shares some really inspirational tips. You can find her at The Enlightened Homeopath, and you can also check out her website, hoaglandhomeopathy.com, where she has various courses which you can gain access to. So that's H-U-G-L-U-N-D homeopathy.com. Or check out the show notes for this episode, which will give you the links to Jenny's courses, which has my affiliate code in it, and that will give me a small kickback, which will help to pay for the editing of this podcast. Thanks so much for listening.
Welcome to the Homeopathy Hangout, where we discuss all things homeopathy from around the world. And now my mum and your host, Eugenie Kruger.
Hello, homies, and a very warm welcome to Homeopathy Hangout. Today, we get to hang out with the fabulous Jenny Hoagland in Minnesota, USA. Welcome to the show, Jenny.
Thank you so much. It's so great to be here.
It's lovely to have you on. I have been following you on Instagram for a while, and I really love your posts, and they're really inspiring. And so I reached out a little while ago to ask you to come on the show, and I'm so grateful to have you on here. And I think we share a similar vibe in wanting to empower mothers, especially to use homeopathy, getting a grassroots movement going. So I'm so happy to have you here.
Well, like you, I'm so passionate about bringing homeopathy to the general public so moms, families can understand that this is a healing modality you can use. It can save you so much misery, so much time being sick. I don't know what I would have done when my kids were little without homeopathy. And it's just my message to moms is that you don't have to suffer. There's this amazing holistic modality available to you that if you just put a little time into learning about it, the rewards are so great.
Absolutely. How were you first introduced to homeopathy?
I actually picked up a remedy randomly at Whole Foods. I had really bad hay fever one fall. I've had hay fever my whole life. And some years it's worse than others. It is a lot better now, especially after constitutional care, obviously. But I was just miserable. And I picked up a tube of histaminum from Whole Foods because it said on their allergies. I had no idea what I was doing, but I was really drawn to doing something more natural, more holistic. And I saw this tube, I reached out, I grabbed it, and it worked. It helped so much with my allergies. And I was really intrigued. I didn't pursue homeopathy right away. A few years later, I got married, got pregnant. And when I was pregnant with my son, I decided to start seeing a homeopath because I was so tired. I was just really not as vibrant as I wanted to be. I was quite disengaged even from life. I wasn't enjoying life. I felt like I had brain fog all the time. My energy was just at an all-time low. And I thought, okay, if I'm going to become a mom, I'm going to need some energy. I have to do something. And so a chiropractor referred me to a homeopath and I took a remedy and my whole life changed. I became so much more excited to be alive. And I felt better than I'd ever felt in my whole life. And so I had to find out more about homeopathy. And within a few years, I had decided to enroll in homeopathy school. So that's the short version of how I decided to become a homeopath. I was already involved in medicine a bit. I have a background in laboratory science. And so I was, before I got married and got pregnant and had kids, actually, I was working as a lab tech doing blood banking, doing PCR testing, all these types of things. And I really liked the idea of helping people, but eventually became more and more turned off by the way conventional medicine really has this ultimately fear-based approach. So that led me down a holistic path toward home birth, natural birth, and homeopathy.
Amazing. How valuable for you to have that background though in the laboratory work. Do you find that's useful in your consulting, being a homeopath now? Is it helpful at all?
Well, it is certainly because there's that scientific understanding of body systems of pathology, all of those were big parts of my education. But as you know, really in homeopathy, the name of the disease, the lab reports, all of those things aren't as important as the individual experience of the patient in front of us. So they're helpful to some degree, but there's not a whole lot of crossover because what I'm going for is much, much deeper. What we're going for, what information we need is a lot more than a lab or a blood work printout can tell us, which ultimately is what makes homeopathy so effective.
I'm just thinking with, I don't know if you've done much of Ton Janssen's courses, but a lot of what he does is actually based on blood work, and he will give remedies in potency. Say, for example, if the vitamin D shows up really low on the blood work, he'll give vitamin D in homeopathic potency, in ascending potencies alongside the supplement itself to help the absorption. So I guess it is quite good in that way if you're using the Ton Janssen approach and you know how to read the blood work, although it's not... Well, like I've been asking my clients more and more these days for their blood work reports because they often have their ranges in there. And so it's not like hard to read as such because you've got the ranges there. But then I guess the behind the scenes interpreting of it all, that can be quite tricky.
Well, yeah. In classical homeopathy, we are looking through the lens of what is the patient experiencing. And so in my opinion and in my practice, those things aren't irrelevant, but they're not the most important piece. That's not the way I practice homeopathy, but that is very intriguing. I'd love to read more about it. There are all sorts of different ways people are applying homeopathic remedies. But in my opinion, practicing homeopathy means adhering to the principles outlined in the Organon, right? Practicing classical homeopathy is observing the patient. The patient to me is the most important part, the patient's experience, their individuality in that way.
I completely agree with you. I think with interviewing all these different people on the podcast, homeopathy is just so vast. It's just so incredibly vast. Hey, but yeah, at the end of the day, like you say, it's the patient in front of us, their unique experience of what it is that they're going through that really we look at. You do some coaching as well, from what I've seen on your Instagram page and on your website as well. Can you tell us a little bit about that side of things?
Something I found to be really common among homeopaths and human beings in general, really, is this tendency to feel like we're not good enough, this tendency to want to hide. And it's especially common in homeopaths because homeopathy was sort of born into controversy and born
right
into a fight,
sort of.
Yeah. It's been this dynamic of we feel like we have to prove ourselves or we have to convince people that homeopathy works. And so I'm really passionate about helping holistic practitioners and homeopaths bring their gifts to the world because it's a really human thing and it's really common, especially among homeopaths, to want to hide, to want to stay in the shadows, to feel icky putting ourselves out there, to feel like we're not good enough, to feel like we have to convince people because, as you know, homeopathy was sort of born. Yeah. Homeopathy was sort of born into a fight, right? Like it's been conventional medicine since homeopathy, since the beginning. And so there's this energy of like being defensive or really gauging our experience as homeopaths through the lens of like what people might think of us. And practitioners in all modalities, all holistic modalities especially do this because there can be this experience of being ridiculed, being looked down upon, being snake oil salesman, But I don't focus on any of that. I don't pay any attention to any of that. I do not explain myself. I do not convince anyone that homeopathy works. I talk about how homeopathy is amazing, what I really love about it, why I do it. I talk about the progress that homeopathy has made, and I help practitioners find their footing and connect with their higher selves, their bigger sense of purpose, so that they can be more free to bring themselves and their work into the world. Because we can wait and we can procrastinate and we can hide because we are indulging our own limiting beliefs. Or we can go ahead and say, yeah, you know what? I'm scared. Yeah, I feel like a piece of crap that nobody's going to like me. Yeah, I feel like I don't know what I'm doing. But I'm going to take the first step into seeing who I can help, because that is more important than my delusions, right? We call it the delusion in homeopathy. My delusion that I'm not good enough. My delusion that people won't like me. My delusion that I have to wait until I've taken 10,000 courses to be able to speak out. We're just going to do it scared. We're just going to do it now because the world needs us. Now is the time for us to step out and say, hey, I can help. No matter what, even if we feel scared. So a lot of my that seems like a very aggressive, harsh approach. I'm not that harsh and aggressive in my coaching. We really take the time to work through a process of uncovering what's going on, learning some ways to kind of cope with these voices or these, again, to use that word, delusions, limiting beliefs. Yes. And so it's helping people realize that we're always going to feel like that, but we learn to walk ourselves through the discomfort rather than waiting until the discomfort is gone to move, because then we'll just stay stagnant forever and we won't help as many people as we could if we just said, hey, yep, this is me. This is what I got.
I am so glad that somebody like you exists because that is so needed. And I actually had a chat with Marcus Fernandez from CHE just yesterday, and we were just having a chat about how many homeopaths are just like hobby homeopaths. They're not actually making a career out of this. And I think those limiting beliefs and those self-doubts and those fears really is stopping people from having an incredible career. And I have had all of those, and I still have them on a daily basis. I don't know about you, but I have a pretty successful clinic with 5 homeopaths on my team and 4 staff, 2 VAs. I closed my books a couple of years ago because I'm so busy. But I still have those limiting beliefs every single day. Like, I don't want anyone listening to this to think for one single second that I feel comfortable with what I'm doing or think that I even know what I'm doing. I am shit scared every single day and get tricky cases and doubt myself and all the time, but I still push through it and still do it anyway, because there are people that need to be helped. And we grow and it becomes easier every single time. And when that little, there's this great book by Melissa Ambrosini called Mastering Your Mean Girl. And I highly recommend everybody to read it. I got the audio book and I listened to it in the car. But whenever I hear that mean girl voice coming up, I just kind of acknowledge her. And Melissa Ambrosini in her book says, you just gently close the door on her. And I felt a little bit mean doing that to my mean girl. So I've actually in my mind created this beautiful room that my mean girl goes into. And she's got this comfy chair and this nice snacks next to her. And I just tell her to go into her room, go sit in your comfy chair. You're not welcome here right now. But it's constant. Do you ever find that voice is not there at all and you're just confident 100% of the time? Or do you find it's a work in progress?
I feel more confident now than I ever have. So after 10 years of, almost 12 years now of practice, and I feel pretty confident. I feel like I'm stepping into the shoes of the woman I've always wanted to be, but not confident in the way of like, oh, I know everything there is to know, or I'm never going to make a mistake, or I'm never going to need help, but confident in that I'm so, so secure and confident in my intention that I know everybody will get what they need. So if I show up in integrity, no matter what I'm doing, whether it's teaching a course or selling a course or sitting with a client, talking with someone on my team, with an intern, whatever it is, if I'm there in my integrity, do my best, I leave. And it's sort of none of my business what happens after that, right? Like, I give the patient the best remedy I can figure out for them. And it's not that I don't care, but it's like, they get better or they don't, it doesn't inform my feelings about myself in the way that it used to, right? And again, that's not that I'm not compassionate. I'm not invested. I am. I can go show up to teach people. And if they loved it, that's great. If a couple people complain that it wasn't what they expected, that's okay. I've been through it. I've gotten feedback. I've had things happen that weren't ideal. I've had clients who were mad at me. I've had that hasn't been the majority of my experience, obviously. 99% of the time, people are really happy and teaching is quite rewarding. But my point is that when you put yourself out there and you do these things, yes, you will experience the things that you're afraid of. But it's so freeing because then you realize that, oh, where is my sense of being good enough coming from? Is it coming from other people's responses to me, or is it coming from my connection to my inner self or God or the higher aspect of me, the larger aspect of me that I plug into to recharge, whatever that is for you? That's where I get, that's what informs my sense of self these days more than that mean girl voice. So that's a long, long, long answer to your question. Is that mean girl still around? Sometimes, for sure. But most of the time, I would say I'm connected more with a, like a source energy telling me like, you're doing your best. Not that big a deal. Like, just keep going. Nobody really cares that much what you're doing. Just, you know what I mean? In terms of like, no one's just waiting for me to fail and like criticizing every move. Like we think in our minds, it's like, I can show up, I can make a mistake, I can have a typo on a post. No problem.
It's exactly, I couldn't agree with you more. And it's just so beautiful chatting with you. You're saying a lot of what I've experienced. So I qualified in 2013, but we started practicing in our third year. So that would put me at about 11 year mark as well. Right. And it has been such a journey. And I sometimes think that part of, because I'm at a very similar place to you in that I passionately care about my clients. I'm very empathetic. I do my absolute best, but I'm also at that point now where the end result that they end up with, I don't attach my self-worth to that because I know without a shadow of a doubt, with every single one of my clients, I show up 100% and give my everything and more. And so the outcome of that is not to do with my self-worth. And often it's to do with a variety of other things. And maybe I always sometimes feel sometimes we're at the start of somebody's journey. Sometimes we're meant to be at the end. Sometimes we're there for the whole time, but sometimes people need to come to us and then they go away and they go and do their own thing because something else needs to happen and they come back. But I think that's what you said about being tapped into that source, just surrendering to the experience. I think there's a lot of value in that as well. Surrendering to what will be. And you actually said something interesting on your Instagram, which my husband and I were busy working yesterday, and we listened to a little reel that you did on Instagram, and it was to do with everything happening for a reason. And you actually had an interesting take on that. Do you recall that reel? Because it was quite a while ago.
No, what did I say?
It was something along the lines. It was
I have no idea.
No, it was just, it was such an interesting take on it that I hadn't heard before, and it instantly resonated with me. But it was along the lines of people saying, oh, it happens for a reason, and then thinking that then they're not allowed to kind of feel all the anger and all the shame or the sadness that might have come with that disappointment because something might not have turned out the way that they expected it to turn out. And so then we just say, oh, well, that happened for a reason. And then sometimes feel that we're not allowed to then feel the disappointment and the sadness that comes along with that. But you actually had an interesting take on that. Do you want to take it from there?
Well, I think too, that we're too quick to judge, right? Let's say some disastrous thing happens. There's a catastrophe, like, gosh, I have had many catastrophes in my life. And so if we take a catastrophe, whatever it is, somebody doesn't like us, we encounter a problem in our business, a relationship has trouble, an accident, who knows what it is. But a lot of times we look at that event as the end manifestation of something gone completely, terribly wrong. Like, why would I manifest this? I'm a good person. Why would this happen to me? But I find that almost all of the time or all of the time, that incident is not the end manifestation of something having gone terribly wrong. It is just one part of a larger sequence that is designed to shape us into the person who can really hold all of what we want. So life is always guiding us down the path of least resistance to everything we've really intended, right? Our deepest desires, our soul's callings. And sometimes the fastest way is through a catastrophe. And so if we can be in a sort of a more gentle space of like not judging or condemning a catastrophe or something that feels uncomfortable right at the moment it happens, it opens us up to be able to allow that to be the part in that sequence that's bringing us into this high elevated reality that we've wanted. It's not a new concept, right? You hear Rumi talking about the guest house, let the feelings sweep all of the debris out of you or whatever that poem is. And I had a colleague who would hand out a snippet of a writing from Rainer Maria Wilke, a poet in olden times. I don't know when he lived.
No, I haven't heard of them.
I'm not a poetry expert, but it talks about why would you wish this illness away? Let yourself have your whole sickness, because this is the way the organism frees itself from what is unwanted. Mm-hmm. And so that philosophy, let that uncomfortable thing happen, ties into homeopathy, because it's like, let yourself have this whole experience of illness, whether it's in a mental, emotional, or physical illness, there's something in it for us. And so understanding that has been the most important piece of my homeopathic practice.
And I mean, we see in clinic on a daily basis, several times a day, what happens to people when they do suppress their emotions, any emotion.
Yeah.
It's just sitting with being able to experience the full spectrum of human emotion and human experience and not labeling one as good and one as bad, I think is very important.
That's so much about what the mindset work is that I help people with, as in addition to homeopathy. A remedy can help, but it's not going to make all your problems and feelings go away. We need to learn to expand our capacity to be in the human experience, because society today tells us anything that makes you upset, you need to have a fit and complain about it. But really, we become integrated whole human beings when we can be okay in a variety of feelings, situations. And so I try to help people understand that it's okay to be anxious for a day. It's okay to be uncomfortable. Like, let's get a handle on this so that we can be functional human beings. Because I don't know what it's like where you are, but in the United States here, we're really encouraged by the media to be completely rendered non-functional if something offends us. Meltdowns, toddler-like behavior is all around. Helping people reclaim their adult is very, very valuable.
Oh, it's so beautiful. And as you're sitting here speaking, I'm just thinking, I can see these hobby homeopaths coming to you and doing this mindset coaching and then going out and creating incredible work, because it is just all in the mind. We walk around with this incredible delusion that we are somehow not whole or not perfect exactly as we are. And if we can just overcome that, we can create such beautiful work and live and work from a space of abundance. And like, I know that you're in that flow, because I can see that just shining out of you. And I know that I am as well. I love my work so much, and I love doing what I do. And everybody deserves to feel this way. Everybody deserves to be in the flow and do a job that they're passionate about. I'm sure you would agree that doing what we do does not feel like work for one day in my life. I don't care if I have to sit with a client's case till 11 o'clock at night and then be up again at 5. Like, I don't care, because it's wonderful and it's empowering, and it's wonderful to be able to feel that you're contributing. So,
Such a gift. I couldn't agree more.
It is a great gift. Hey, but I also want to have a chat with you about your courses. You have quite a few courses on your site and a variety of different topics. And I think you mentioned you've got a new one coming up with about infectious diseases, which is great, because so many mums lose their mind and their confidence when it comes to infectious diseases. Their kiddies become ill and they want to embrace natural medicine, but they feel like it might be something that's just that it's too much. Homeopathy can't help with that. And they run straight to the doctor and go and get all the medical interventions that there is. But tell us a little bit about the course and what people are going to be learning from that.
Yeah, I'm super excited about this course. I love teaching. It's a big part of my career. You know, I have intro courses on homeopathy. I've collaborated with my friend Kendra Needham, who is the holistic mother on Instagram. And we've done quite a few holistic toolkit courses where it's one part homeopathy, one part holistic technique. So those are really nice too. And this newest course is called Homeopathy for Infectious Disease and Childhood Illness. I partnered with my good friend and colleague, Kathy Yeo, who was also a certified classical homeopath. We graduated together at Northwestern Academy of Homeopathy, and we've been just best friends. We talk about homeopathy all day long. We're texting, you know, about different things. What do you think of this? What about this remedy? And she's actually on my team too. So we work really, really closely. And we saw a need for this information to get into the hands of moms and families, because our medical system is not equipped to handle another situation. It's already crumbling. I mean, people don't want it. People aren't getting well. People have to wait hours, days, months for treatments. it's not something you can rely on. And so we wanted to present a course that would cover a lot of information. We're going to be talking about the history of homeopathy and epidemics, talking about how it's really proved itself as a viable modality to help on the large scale. And we're going to be talking about that history. We're going to be talking about how you can use everyday remedies in your home kit at home to address some of these childhood illnesses that come, things like strep, influenza, and even some of the like scarier diseases that have gone away for a while that start to come back from time to time. So we're going to be talking about specific remedies, exactly what to do if some of these diseases move into the forefront of our collective experience. And we are going to be talking about how to assess a case, how to choose a remedy. Some people aren't very familiar with that whole process. So it'll be a beginning intermediate level course. We're going to talk a lot about homeoprophylaxis, what it is, our take on homeoprophylaxis, immune system, and homeopathic philosophy. Like, how does the difference between how conventional medicine views health and disease differ greatly from the homeopathic view and perspective on health and disease. So ultimately, it's meant to be a very empowering class on multiple levels, right? You'll learn the actual practical information you need to select a remedy and give it when somebody is ill, but also understanding like that mindset piece, like understanding that you don't need to be panicked and anxious if somebody in your household is sick. A, because you have homeopathy, but B, because you understand the function of acute illness. You know this, of course, Eugenie, but we have traded acute childhood illness. They're gone now, essentially, right? And so we have this epidemic of generations now of chronically ill kids. And there's nowhere for things to go other than for acute illness to start coming back. And we're starting to see that more acute illnesses, more scary outbreaks of acute illness. But this is a good thing because it means that our collective vital force is pushing things out to the surface. And so if we can meet it with homeopathy, we can help heal this whole generation of kids that's sort of been like doomed to chronic illness, right? And so many parents and families are wanting to reclaim their health and wellness. So this is our offer. We're super excited about it. It's going to be a pre-recorded course that is available June 15th, but it's going on pre-sale very soon. In fact, by the time this podcast airs, it will be on sale. It's $69 on pre-sale. The regular price is $99. We're also going to have a Q&A, a live Q&A with me and Kathy toward the end of the summer after everyone's had a chance to watch the course, kind of assimilate the information. We're going to meet for a Q&A, so you'll have your chance to ask us any questions that you have. It's going to be a really, really good, really comprehensive course. It's going to be at least two sessions. It may stretch into three, depending on how much information we have, because we just keep adding more.
That's the problem.
But that's what we're really excited about right now. Yeah.
I often think to myself, where do we start to heal this mess of chronic childhood illness? I mean, the adults, yeah, for sure, but you should not be seeing cancers and autoimmune diseases in children. It just should not be a thing. So where do we go and heal all of this? And I mean, the answer to that is huge. And we can never nut that out in even 100 podcasts, really, of everything that needs to be healed on this planet. But I always think the one thing that we can really do to make a difference is to empower mothers. Because I think so much of the mess that we're in happens because mothers are anxious. They do not feel empowered. They have been told by the media and by their doctor and by their auntie and by everyone around them that they do not know enough and they need to go and search outside for help, that they do not have that knowledge and that intuition on the inside. And I'm sure that you'll agree with me that I think what your mission of empowering mothers and mine is very similar. And I think that if we can empower a mother to get back in touch with her intuition, to give her back that confidence that, yes, you do actually know a lot more than what you give yourself credit for, and you are actually the most qualified person to care for your children, I think a lot of this mess that we're experiencing at the moment is going to go away.
I think so too. I think it starts by don't go to the doctor unless there's a medical emergency. right? Mm-hmm. We're almost trained to run in for a fever. Oh, I got to run in. I got to check for an ear infection. I got to check for strep. I never took my kids to the doctor. They've been to the doctor a handful of times in their life. They're 16 and 14, and they have never had antibiotics. I would give them antibiotics if they needed it, right? If they had an infection or, but if their throat hurt, I didn't run them in to get them checked. I'd ignore, like, no. So this is not my official advice to people to ignore your illness and not go to the doctor, because that would be, you know, I could get in some trouble for saying that, but,
yeah.
But this idea that we always need somebody outside of ourselves to tell us if we're okay, am I doing an okay job? The conventional medicine exploits that. And it says, well, no, you're not doing a good enough job. You're going to kill your child. That's the thing that they say. Your kid could die because you didn't do what we said. It's this authoritarian approach that preys on our deepest fears. And so my experience was just stay out of that system as much as possible. Don't go and pick and choose what you're going to do. If you can avoid that system, my experience was that was the key. Now, some of us do need to navigate that system, right? Because we do have chronically ill kids or whatever the case. Then it's so important to cultivate that trust within ourselves and to learn about another system of medicine like homeopathy that we know will be there for us. Sometimes we need to use conventional medicine, and that is okay. It's not impossible to be well while using conventional medicine, but the key is to be able to confidently advocate for our instincts and our, you know, what we know is best for our kids, I believe.
Absolutely. And it, like you said, if you do have a chronically ill child and you have to go through that system, that you are empowered within yourself to ask questions, or if there is advice given that doesn't sit right with you, that you continue asking questions and don't just take things at face value. I mean, one of my clients, Jessica Gilbert, she has got a business also called The Alternative Path, and her daughter was expected not to live. And then once she lived past one, they were like, well, she's never going to be able to walk or talk. And, you know, she's doing so many of these things because Jessica just never, she just never bought into that system, and she always knew that was more. Now, she didn't just use homeopathy. She used a whole variety of other natural methods as well. But that was one mama that so tapped into her primal power and her inner knowing and just never took no for an answer. And her child is thriving now, which is amazing to see. But I think if we can just get more empowered mamas that are not anxious about every tiny little thing, that, like you said, not running to the doctor for every little thing. I mean, my kiddies are 11 and a half and 8 and a bit, and they've also only been to the doctor a handful of times, never had antibiotics, never had vaccines. You know, they are so healthy. It's just the most amazing thing. And when they do get sick, you know, they bounce back within a day. Like, nothing really turns into anything because we've laid the groundwork from such a young age, and it's never too late. If you have had a child that was born via C-section, formula fed, and antibiotics from birth, so much we can do with homeopathy to heal that.
Oh, it's so true. And I find so much is tied into mom's viewpoint and how we are viewing our kids. When we see our kids through the lens of fear and illness, they are sicker. But when we see our kids through the lens of wholeness, wellness, vitality, it helps them to be healthier. Energy flows where attention goes, right? Yes. So if we're focused on everything that's wrong with our kids, it's going to be amplified because they're so energetically hooked into us. Very often in my practice, when mom comes to me and says, I'm at my wit's end, I spend every waking minute of my life trying to help my child be well, they're chronically ill, I say, yeah, I can see your child, homeopathy can help, but you also need to come, because this is a whole family dynamic. This is a energetic interplay between mom and child, not in the way that it's mom's fault, but I mean, we're so invested in our kids, we can't not be involved. So by seeing mom and child for constitutional care, we're able to really help everybody in the family, because when mom is feeling her best, then the child will have energetic permission to heal. It's very often that the kid won't get a lot better until mom's state is addressed, in my opinion, in my experience.
Yes, yes, and yes. And Amy, who my clinic manager and I were driving into work today, and literally that was the first conversation when she hopped in the car. I was like, I'm just mulling over in my head this family that I'm treating the three children for the past year and a half for a whole variety of ticks and twitches and all sorts of mental, emotional things. And the mum refuses to come and see me. And I keep saying to her, I've said to the mum so many times, you need to come and see me, but she's just so resistant. And you can just see that the block in these children's healing is that the mother refuses to look at what she needs to heal in herself. And that's also, I guess, where that surrender comes in, because me a few years ago would have really, this would have bothered me. And I would have like really tried to convince her to come and see me. Whereas now I'm just surrendering to the fact that she has got her own journey that she needs to go through. When the time is right, she'll come and see me.
Yeah.
Jenny, talk to me about your mantra in homeopathy and in practice, and your maybe some lessons for life that you want to leave our listeners with.
I would say my mantra is keep it simple. For homeopaths who are practicing, it can be overwhelming because there's a continually growing body of homeopathic remedies. With these conferences, we're encouraged to learn about these types of remedies and these types of remedies. But what I find is that 95% of the patients in my practice need a Polycrest or is it something within 200, 250 remedies. It's very, very rarely the case that someone needs a remedy made from a meteor or a lobster or whatever the fantastic remedy of the day is. And so my mantra of, it's very simple. Homeopathy is easy. Let's just see what's in front of us. It has served me so well in my practice and in life because I don't need to be bigger or fancier or try to be a superstar. I help people best when I stay in my narrow lane. Not that I won't go out of my lane if it's needed, but in my experience, when somebody needs a remedy made from some substance that is recently proven, or, you know, they need some mammal remedy, it's very, very obvious. You can't miss it. And so this is more, I think, going to resonate with people who are practicing homeopathy, but don't get fancy, right? Mm. Don't get clever. Cleverness is something that was very appealing to me in the first 5 years of my practice, right? This kind of theorizing or drawing conclusions from what a patient would say, but that didn't serve me and it didn't serve my patients. And you know what I mean by being clever, sort of extrapolating from what someone says, well, they had this happen, so I'm going to give them this. No, we ask the patient what they experience and we don't consider anything but what the patient says, right? We observe them too, and we take all that into consideration, but letting go of cleverness or this need to be special or better than anybody else in my practice or in my prescribing has brought this ability to connect with something greater than myself that helps guide me. When I'm taking a case, I can feel where to go. I can hone in on the essence of what's really happening. What's really the, what does Kathy call it? The area that's like easily jiggled in them, the sensitive spot. And when you can understand what that is, what's that core sensitivity in that area that everything in their life is set up around, combined with obviously symptoms, repertorization, a thorough understanding of the whole case. That's what it's all about. It's not me being a homeopathy superstar, which I think is a struggle for a lot of homeopaths because all of the conferences, all of the education is about sort of this case in a, oh my gosh. And then I gave goat milk and look what happened. Or then I gave who knows what. And it's like, okay. But then that sets this bar of like, okay, I always have to be giving some fantastical remedy. Mm. Not that goat's milk is a fantastical remedy, but it's going to be more rare, right? You might see one or two in your lifetime versus a kelp carb. They're coming in every week, a sepia, Metarhinum. So to get really comfortable with being very plain in my prescriptions has served me very well.
And don't you think, I guess at the end of the day, a lot of that comes back to self-belief and self-confidence as well, because if we keep looking externally at what others are doing and we get that bit of that FOMO, you know, fear of missing out, I should be doing that. But if you're actually centered and grounded, and this kind of ties in with mothers and mother intuition and us as practitioners and people in general in life, if we are self-assured, we've got self-love, we are confident in ourselves and got good self-worth, that at the end of the day, you become unshakable. And it's funny because both of us at the start of the podcast, we were like, oh, what should we talk about? And we're like, oh, we'll just wing it. Because I think both of us have that, we're at that place, and maybe personally and professionally, where we feel comfortable with where we are. So we don't feel like we need to necessarily prepare for weeks beforehand. We're just quite happy to just turn up, be ourselves and see what comes out of it.
And I know when an hour has gone by and now another hour could go by and we're just gabbing the day away.
Exactly. And I think that's what my hope is for mothers in general, but actually just the human race in general. If all of us can speak our truth, be confident in who we are, know our self-worth and be unshakable, then everything that's just happened the last couple of years in the world wouldn't have happened, because we would know who we are and be unshakable and not let other people boss us around.
Yeah. Oh, it's so true. Yes. Let's hold a vision of that world coming to be.
Absolutely. Sounds amazing. Now, where can our listeners get hold of you and your amazing courses, and tell us your Instagram handle, because you've got some great content on there as well. So how can people get hold of you?
You can find all of my information on my website, which is hoaglandhomeopathy.com. My Instagram is The Enlightened Homeopath. And then I'm on Podia. That's where I host all of my courses. So jennyhoagland.podia.com. And I can send you all those links to share with your listeners.
Amazing. Actually, another homeopath recently told me about Podia. It's a great platform. And actually, I might just do a little shout out for any of the homeopaths out there who are maybe, you know how sometimes we can have that analysis paralysis, and sometimes a new homeopath can be prevented from starting their practice because they think, oh, the IT side of it's too hard, I don't know how to set up a site. But Podia is so easy. So don't let
it really is.
Yeah. If a website is what's holding you back from getting yourself out there and practicing, go check out Podia. It is so good.
It's really nice. Mm-hmm. And I also want to say that, you know, back to the topic of case conferences, right? It's normal that we would have special cases with sort of fantastical remedies. Nobody wants to come to a conference where the practitioner is presenting 10 to 20 cases of CalCarb over and over, right? So those definitely have their place. We want the excitement and the entertainment of those conferences. They're very valuable, and the community we get from going to them. That's so fun. But I want people to understand that you don't have to always look for something that that extraordinary.
You can prescribe CalCarb and feel good in yourself and not feel that you're missing out.
Yeah. And it'll happen too, that you get like 10 people in a row that need the same remedy. Or it's so interesting. I've been sitting with my team. Two of my people are sitting in just observing cases a little bit, and a good handful of cases, or six cases, maybe every single week, it's NapMir. And we're all just like, wow, I guess we're really learning NapMir.
They do come in waves. They really, really do.
They do.
I do feel that sometimes it's just the universe like wanting to teach me about a particular remedy. And then sometimes that day when you have like, I'm like, have I just seriously had three Lachesis cases in a row? Like, it can't be. And then do I need Lachesis? What is there something about the remedy that I clearly need to learn? Like, what is going on? So it's definitely it can mess with your mind a bit sometimes.
Well, I remember so often in school, the teachers would be talking about like the psychotic miasm or opium as a remedy. And then we would get a case, like we got a Thuya case right on the same day that they were talking about the psychotic miasm, and then an opium case, like immediately after the morning was a presentation about opium and the Papaveraceae family. And then the afternoon client was someone that needed opium. It was absolutely mind-blowing, but that's just the way things work. There's this synchronicity that comes with our practice somehow.
Yes. And it's so fun once you just surrender to that and try not to
analyze it or analyze and not try it.
Just surrender and just go, yeah, life is fun. Like when you tapped into this and you just go with the synchronicity, it's so fun.
It is. It's so great.
That can be our message for today. Just go with it and keep it simple.
I like what Esther Hicks, one of my favorite inspirational speakers, she always says, there's nothing too serious going on here.
I love it. I think that needs to be printed on a t-shirt. It was really lovely to hang out with you today. We should definitely do this again. And thank you so much for the work that you're doing and empowering other homeopaths to get out there and have successful practices. Because like you said, that is what the world needs right now more than anything else.
Oh, well, thank you. I really appreciate you giving homeopaths a platform to speak from. It's really just an honor to have been invited here, and I've enjoyed our time together so much. It's been really, really fun.
Thank you. Chat soon.